The Vape Passion Show, episode 77. In this episode, we're going to talk about an e-juice review of Demeter's Harvest by Zeus E-Juice, an old-school vape review of the Wismec Indie Duo RDA. The next U.S. Surgeon General is Dr. Jerome Adams. Smokejoy posts a picture of a little kid with a mod. Philip Morris is turning IQOS users into salespeople. And can you get lead poisoning from your vape gear? Welcome back to the Vape Passion Show. I'm Alex. This is episode 77, and I'm recording this on Monday, July 10th. If you're planning on buying a vape product anytime soon and you want to support the show, go to vapepassion.com/vendors and buy from one of those links. There are more than 50 popular vendors listed. I'll get a small commission for referring you, but it doesn't cost you anything extra. So I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I'd be starting a new class in school called Applied Humanities. At that time, I implied that it would be boring, but that's because I had no idea what the study of humanities meant. It's actually really interesting, and I think I'm going to like this class. Humanities is basically the study of human culture throughout periods of history, mainly looking at art of many forms like music, paintings, and literature. The thing that sucks about this class, though, is that it's not black and white. A lot of the coursework already, just in this first week, has required trying to come up with like my own perspective on what I think these various pieces of art mean, and it's been absolutely draining and time-consuming. It's not like my last class where I had to just remember facts. I've spent probably 20 hours on coursework, just the coursework this week, so it looks like I have a tough 7 more weeks ahead of me. I actually had several other topics that I wanted to cover in this week's show, but I just didn't have time to include them in my outline because of my schoolwork just taking precedence. It just took so much time and it's important, so I had to do it. And it's also why this week's show is coming out a little bit later than usual. Normally, I aim to get these vlogs out on Mondays or Tuesdays. This week, I'm recording it on Monday, so you'll probably get it, I don't know, Wednesday, maybe even Thursday. Aside from that, nothing much else going on. We visited my wife's sister on Saturday, which is always fun, but also tough because we have to drive 2 to 3 hours to Colorado Springs with a fidgety 3-year-old. Then we have to sleep in a room that gets way too hot every time, and then we wake up way early because the window lets in so much light. So while we do have a good time, we always can't wait to get home and sleep in our own room. But while we were in Colorado Springs, everyone left to go to the park, and I was able to get a couple of e-juice reviews in for Steep Liquid from the UK. And then that's 3 of their flavors that I've tried now, and all of them are really good. These guys know how to create a premium e-juice. It's really good. One in particular that I really liked was called Coaster, which tastes almost exactly like a lemon-lime citrusy Italian ice. It's good. And I've got 2 more flavors to try from them, which at this point I'm guessing are also going to be pretty good. So that's what's been going on with me. So let's get into the topic this week. First, let's do an e-juice review of Demeter's Harvest from Zeus E-Juice. So I received a comment from Joshua Apathy Miller asking me if the Zeus juice that I reviewed last week was a year old. And I'll be honest, it is nearly a year old. And I think that was a great point to make because that could be why it tasted so bad. I mentioned to him that I have had e-juices go bad before, and I can usually tell when that's the reason for an e-juice that to taste like crap. But I thought about it a bit, and I think I shouldn't assume that I will always know. So I've decided to try a couple more of their e-juices. I actually feel like there will be a flavor for them that I like, so I'm going to give them another chance. And if their other flavors taste the same as the last one, maybe it really is that the flavors went bad, in which case I'll have to apologize to Zeus for the review that I did last week. So anyway, let's try another one. So this is Demeter's Harvest, and the bottles that I got are 75 VG, 25 PG, and 6 milligrams nicotine. The description for this says, 6 different flavors come together to create this complex e-cig liquid blend. Those that try this e-cig liquid claim that it reminds them of one of their favorite cereals as a child. Want to know which one? Try it for yourself. We're positive that if you try it, you'll love it. See if you can distinguish all 6 of the fruit flavors Zeus E-Juice uses to create this amazing e-cig liquid. So let's give it a shot. I don't know. It does smell fruity. I'm not sure I'm getting a cereal smell out of it though, but it smells like it could be good. So I'm going to use the Predator 228 with the old school Velocity RDA on top. It's built at 0.45 ohms, and I'll start at 94 watts. Well, first I gotta turn that wattage down because that's just too hot. I don't know, 78 watts? Yeah, see, I don't think that the last one went bad, just because of the flavor that I'm getting out of this one. It does taste a little bit fruity. The flavor is very light, and I'm not going to say that if this was a fresh e-juice that it wouldn't taste better, because it probably would, to be honest. But I can still get a good idea of what this is supposed to taste like. And yeah, I think it's a good fruity e-juice, a little mild, and not really strong, but I'm not sure I get a cereal flavor out of it. Okay, after a few hits, after, I don't know, about 10 or a dozen hits or so, it's pretty good, actually. I do like this one. It still, to me, doesn't taste like cereal, but it tastes fruity, and it's a pretty good fruity flavor. It's not a fruity flavor like, I don't know, like a tropical fruit or anything like that, or any specific fruity flavor, like apples or strawberries, nothing like that. It just tastes like a bunch, like a medley of fruits. And I can see that they were going for a cereal here because it does have a bit of a, I don't know, like a grain, like cereal grains. So it's like a like fruity grain taste, but not exactly like a cereal. It's pretty good. It's a mild medley of fruits, and it's fairly sweet too. So yeah, I like that one. So Zusi Juice is based out of St. Petersburg, Florida. You can get 12 mils for $4.99, 30 mils for $11.99, 50 mils for $18.99, and 125 mils for $44.99. It comes in nicotine strengths of 0, 3, 6, 12, 18, 24, and 30. And you can get it in pretty much any VG-PG ratio you want, in the range of 100% PG or 75 VG, 25 PG. Okay, now let's do an old school vape review of the Wismec Indie Duo RDA. So the Indie Duo sold for $35 originally and came out around March 2016. It isn't really old school, but I'd say it's old enough. It's definitely not a hot product anymore, and it's old enough to where you can find it on sale for as low as $5 every once in a while. It's one of those products that shops have either decided to clear stock of by practically giving it away, or they don't mind cutting their losses and they put a steep discount on it to get people onto their website. Anyway, what I'm saying is it's old, and if you're interested, don't pay full price because you'll find a sale on it soon enough. So with that said, let's talk about it a little bit. First, this is a J-Bo Wismec collaboration. J-Bo designed it and Wismec manufactured it. It looks like a tank, but it's an RDA, which means don't try to fill it all the way up or you'll drown the coils in e-juice. So let's talk about the features. It has what they call a vortex airflow. They created a conical top cap that they say results in more flavor. It has a rotating airflow control ring on the top of the tank. It comes with two atomizer tube sizes, a 22mm steel RDA or a 30mm clear glass tank. It has black heat resistant O-rings, hexagon screws, and it's made of 303 stainless steel. So the parts you'll find here are a mouthpiece, an airflow control ring, a 30mm atomizer tube, 22mm atomizer tube, a deck, and a bag of spare parts. Let's talk about the deck first. The posts are pretty unique because there are five holes. The post comes up from the center of the deck to form an uppercase T shape. There's a hole on both ends of the T and one in the middle. Then directly beneath the two positive holes on the top of the T, there's a negative post hole. These holes are machined directly into the deck. The post holes are basically in the same positions of the number 5 side of a dice. It's pretty much a velocity style deck with an extra positive hole in the middle. I've seen people fit 4 small coils on each side using this extra positive hole, but that's a lot of work. If you have this, you'll probably stick to a simple dual coil build and maybe a quad vertical coil build if you don't mind a little extra work. Having all of these post holes will give you a lot of different build options, although the deck is a little small, so the more coils you add, the smaller the coils will need to be. And there's no way to block off one of the airflow holes using either the 22mm or the 30mm option, which means you can't do single coil with this RDA. The deck can also only hold about 2 mils of e-juice with either of the tube sizes. Let's talk about the airflow. The airflow comes in from the top and runs in between the double paned glass, then comes up beneath the coils and up through the chimney. This is a really interesting design. The airflow holes are adjustable, but it's a little hard to see where the airflow holes are positioned. You have to look up from the bottom of the tank to see where the airflow slots are on the glass, then match them up to the airflow slots on the top cap. It's a little annoying. All right, now let's talk aesthetics. So it looks really nice out of the box in the 30mm mode. In 22mm mode, it loses most of its design appeal and looks pretty plain, but I wouldn't say it's ugly. On a 30mm device, the 30mm tube mode looks great, as you'd expect. On anything else, it looks funny because it's so big. After some use, the glass design is pretty much useless because it gets totally covered up with condensation. The drip tip too. You have to fully disassemble the tank to clean out the condensation. All right, now functionality. The 30mm tube is clearly the option they intended this atomizer to be used in because it looks the best and has all the features that they promoted, like the see-through glass, the vortex airflow, and the airflow control. With the 22mm option, you lose all of those features. You basically get 6 small round airflow holes, 3 on each side, that can't be adjusted. You can't close any of the holes off in any way. The tube doesn't have any special airflow, and it's basically just a piece of metal. I wouldn't buy the Indie Duo for the 22mm feature. I would basically consider it a bonus part that will allow you to use the Indie Duo in the event that you break the 30mm tube. Let's talk about flavor. So the flavor is pretty good on both tubes. I'm having a hard time being able to tell the difference in flavor between them both, and I'm actually wondering if the 22mm metal tube has better flavor. It's really hard to tell. All right, now for the cons, I wish that the 22mm tube was exactly the same as the 30mm tube. It would have definitely reduced the amount of space you have for coils a lot, but at least you still get all of the features. But like I said, if you look at this from a glass half full perspective, just look at that 22 millimeter tube as a spare part that you can use if you ever break the glass tube. Another con is that you can't use a different drip tip, so you're stuck with the one that it comes with. And the deck is press fitted into the barrel, and if it gets a little slippery from e-juice, the barrel will spin around the deck when you're trying to get the atomizer off. That's a little annoying. So overall, it's a decent RDA. Nothing special about it really aside from the way it looks. I think it looks pretty cool on a device that can fit a 30mm RDA. The flavor is good and it has a cool deck with all the post hole options. For $5 to $10, I think it's a good buy. So here's what it looks like on a, you know, just regular 22mm sized device. Looks pretty funny. It's big, there's a lot of overhang. But it's cool. It is kind of cool that you can change the tube. So, and you can just pop it right off and switch it out. So there you go. You just pop that off, stick the tube on there. Want to line up those air holes with the coils. You will need to take the drip tip off of the glass tube, and there you go. Now it's a small RDA. So that is a pretty cool option. And I really like the way it looks on this big Aspire CF Max, which is a 30 millimeter device. It looks cool, but because I put Clapton coils in here, the resistance is too low for this device. It can't even fire it. So if I do want to use it on a device like this, on the CF Max, I will have to put in some basic round wire coils. I probably will do that just so I can keep using it on this, because that's actually one of the reasons I wanted to open it, because I wanted an atomizer to put on top of this device. But so yeah, it's a pretty cool RDA actually, especially for as cheap as you can get it. Okay, let's change subjects. So the next U.S. Surgeon General is Dr. Jerome Adams. The former U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, was forced to resign from his position as Surgeon General in April. You probably remember how strongly he opposed vaping at any level of use. His last Surgeon General's report focused entirely on how dangerous he believed vaping to be with youth. Murthy was temporarily replaced over the next few months after his resignation, but his permanent replacement has now filled the position. The White House announced on June 29th that Jerome M. Adams of Indiana will be the next U.S. Surgeon General. Dr. Adams is an assistant professor of anesthesiology at Indiana University School of Medicine, and he also served as the Indiana State Health Commissioner in 2014. Not much is really known about Adams' beliefs on vaping or on promoting harm reduction for smokers, but he did play a major role in implementing the needle exchange program in Indiana, which shows that he does believe in harm reduction for other drugs. That doesn't say a whole lot though, considering that most Democrats are also in favor of needle exchange programs, yet the Democratic Party continues to try to regulate vaping out of existence. Adams has congratulated the recent efforts of implementing a smoke-free ordinance in Indiana, which did create regulations on electronic cigarettes, but it's still not entirely clear on what he thinks about vaping. Hopefully he educates himself on the topic more than Vivek Murthy did. All right, moving on to the next topic. Smokejoy posts a picture of a little kid with a mod. So Smokejoy, a little known vape manufacturer in China, got themselves into some hot water last week after posting a picture on their Instagram page of a little kid sitting on a fence with a Smokejoy mech mod in his hands. The description on the image said, baby vape model. It was reported by a ton of people and eventually pulled from their account, and Grim Green left a comment on the post saying that he would never review a Smokejoy product again. And it looks like Smokejoy either deleted their entire Instagram account or Instagram deleted it for them because it's no longer live. Now this might be a cultural thing and Chinese culture might not see this as a big deal, but obviously it's a big deal in most places of the world and it doesn't look good for the vape industry. Fortunately, the kid wasn't actually vaping or blowing a cloud or anything like that, but it was still a pretty big mistake on behalf of Smokejoy. Okay, moving on. So Philip Morris is turning IQOS users into salespeople. Philip Morris International, or PMI, has seen quite a bit of success in countries outside of the US with their heat not burn product, the IQOS. If you haven't heard of the IQOS, it's basically a device that heats up what looks like a short cigarette to the point of creating vapor but not burning. It's not in the US yet due to FDA regulations on releasing new tobacco products. You might remember that last year, PMI CEO Andre Kalantzopoulos, I'm not sure how you say it, he claimed that they eventually wanted to stop selling cigarettes entirely. Obviously, nobody believed him, but they are now one step closer to actually doing it. PMI is trying to increase growth of the IQOS in the UK by paying IQOS users 50 GBP for each smoker that they convert to the IQOS. That's about $65. PMI is calling these people freelancers. In an interview with the BBC, PMI's managing director for the UK and Ireland, Peter Nixon, stated that a freelancer is someone who helps people to give up, because for people who have been smoking for many, many years, to change that habit is not easy. He also explained a little bit about the program and said that freelancers will take smokers through a 7-day program acting like a coach, Every day, they will help the smoker through the challenges of switching. PMI has also reported that nearly 70% of people who have used IQOS have quit smoking, which, if true, would be higher than the success rate of electronic cigarettes. This 7-day program is really interesting to me, and I'd really like to hear more details. For example, will PMI provide materials for the coaches? Will the coaches need to have some sort of program certification before they can coach? And how do they confirm that a smoker has been converted? I still don't believe that PMI cares about anyone's health. I think that they're claiming that they want to stop selling cigarettes because they think the IQOS has the potential to be successful. If the IQOS fails, they would change their minds pretty quick, I would think. But honestly, I don't really care. The IQOS is safer than smoking, and I've heard claims of it being safer than electronic cigarettes. I haven't researched the reason for that claim, and I'm not sure I believe it, but I'm assuming that it might have something to do with how the IQOS maintains the same optimal voltage for every drag, just like the PAX Juul or any other closed tank system does. I've actually read studies where researchers tried to get bad results out of the PAX Juul and couldn't, because there was no way for the user to modify it. And in a lot of cases of these studies, these vape studies, the researchers will actually fire the device so hot that it burns the cotton and creates these toxic chemicals. Well, they can't do that in devices like this, like the Juul or the IQOS, because it's locked. You can't change anything. Anyway, if it's safer than smoking and helping people quit, I don't care who makes it. All right, and one final topic this week. Can you get lead poisoning from your vape gear? So in the Plumes of Hazard episode 175, the topic of potential dangers of brass atomizers came up, and I thought it was a topic worth talking about. There was even a comment on the show from someone who claimed that they actually got lead poisoning from the Nimbus RDA clone a couple of years ago. This clone RDA had a chrome-plated brass deck and posts, and over time, the chrome plating wore off, and the e-juice sat on the brass long enough to absorb lead, which was then vaped. He started getting symptoms of lead poisoning and eventually figured out the cause. So if you don't know, cheap brass can sometimes have lead added to it. The acidity of e-juice can cause lead to leach from the brass if it sits long enough. It might not be a problem if your e-juice isn't sitting on it for too long, and it doesn't matter if some parts of your atomizer are brass as long as e-juice isn't touching it. For example, the 510 pin, which is often used because it's more conductive than stainless steel. But who knows what kind of metal a cheap clone atomizer is using? It might be cheap brass mixed with a lot of lead. I've seen some posts online talking about brass on atomizers, and some people say that naval brass is safe because it's a high-strength, corrosion-resistant metal alloy made with copper, tin, and zinc. But if you look at metal manufacturers making naval brass, you'll see that there are still trace amounts of lead, and even more in some other types of naval brass. And this is a really important thing to consider when you buy atomizers, especially when buying clones from China. People buy clones because they're so much cheaper than authentic atomizers, but you have to consider why clones are so cheap. One of the biggest reasons is that the materials are lower quality, and sometimes they just might be made of brass and coated in another type of metal. The Plumes guys mentioned that with the popularity of squonking devices right now, there are clones hitting the market with brass squonking pins connected to the feeding tubes, which obviously would be in constant contact with e-juice. And that's something else to look at on your devices. So is the amount of lead that you would consume from vaping on a brass atomizer cause health issues? It might or might not, but I definitely wouldn't take the risk if I could avoid it. There's no reason to harm your health if you don't need to. I'd say this is a really good reason to stick with only authentic atomizers and avoid clones. I also have a tip for any of you already using brass atomizers and you don't want to stop using them. I just want to say that this is still at your own risk, and I'm not claiming that this is safe and will solve your problems. So this is a tip that beer homebrewers use to clean brass fittings on their brewing equipment. You can use a solution of 2 parts vinegar and 1 part hydrogen peroxide to remove tarnish and surface lead from your atomizers. You let it soak for 5 minutes at room temperature and you should be good. Just be careful about soaking for too long, because that can cause the copper in the brass to dissolve and expose even more lead. And you'll know if you've soaked for too long if the brass turns darker and the cleaning solution turns green. If this happens, start the cleaning process all over again in a new solution. Okay, that's all I have for this week. You'll find the show notes for this episode on vapepassion.com. Just do a search for episode 77. If you want to support this show, consider donating to my Patreon page at patreon.com/vapepassion. You can follow me on Twitter at vapepassion, and I'm also on Facebook. If you like the show, I'd love it if you gave me a review on iTunes. You can also catch the video version of the podcast on YouTube. If you're not already a subscriber, please subscribe. If you want to get notifications of new reviews or of the show, you can sign up to receive my weekly email on vapepassion.com. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email me anytime or leave a comment on one of my videos. All right, I'll see you next week.